Jack Armstrong!
Jack Armstrong! The All-American Boy! Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions, bring you the thrilling adventures of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. Today, I've got a little surprise for you. Yes, the day of the Jack Armstrong program.
Don't you wait any longer, Frank. Here I am.
Gosh almighty, you're back again this year.
I sure am, Frank, and I'm mighty glad to see you, too.
Now, look, just stand over there and be quiet, will you, Mr. whatever your name is.
It's about time you asked me my name, Frank. Millions of kids all over the country have been wondering who I am. The name's Chomper, Frank, Chomper, on account of I'm always chomping on Wheaties every chance I get. Now, also...
Okay, Chomper. Now, leave me alone while I tell the fellows and girls all about our...
Plenty of time for that later, Frank. Right now, I got a new idea for selling Wheaties. I've been thinking...
What with?
Now, wait a minute, Frank. We can visit after the show. Like I said, I've been thinking what you need around here is music. You got it, Frank? While you...
Of course I've got it. That's the big surprise I was just talking about.
Just a minute. Frank, I ain't through. While you're talking about Wheaties, we got some guy playing an organ, you see? See?
Look, Chomper, we've already got an organ right over there in the corner. Now just relax while I talk about Wheaties with an organ accompaniment.
Go ahead, Frank. I'll handle the music. This is going to be good. Slide over, will you, Bob?
Yes, fellas and girls, you'll enjoy a big bowl full of Wheaties. These crisp whole wheat flakes really help perk up your breakfast. Tomorrow morning, make sure you get your breakfast started right with plenty of milk, fruit, and Wheaties. Breakfast of champions. That means that you want to check on your Wheaties supply right now. Of course. Okay. Let's get on with the show. And now, Jack Armstrong and the Trial of the Silencer. During the exciting capture of the Black Vulture, Jack Armstrong and Billy met a man known only as the Silencer. The Silencer is truly a man of mystery, for even he does not know his own name or where he came from. Because in 1935, an automobile he was driving was forced off the road and into a viaduct. This accident caused the death of his wife and the disappearance of his little boy, Jimmy. The shock of that accident was so great that the Silencer's mind became a blank. He became a new personality, a criminal. So for the past 10 years, he's been living in a fanciful world, always searching for a man who had caused the accident. Only a short time ago, he recognized that man. It was the Black Vulture. But before he could do anything about it, the Vulture shot him with some strange sort of gas, and once again, the shock influenced his mind. When Jack and Billy received it, he was once again the respectable citizen that he had been 10 years before, the inventor, the scientist who had no knowledge of his criminal career. The police are holding him in custody now, because without proof of his identity, there is no reason for the court to believe his story. Let's go to the hotel where Uncle Jim and Jack Armstrong are staying.
Never mind, Jack. I'll get it. Probably the silencer's attorney. Hello? Yes, this is Colonel Fairfield. Who am I speaking to, please? All right, then, what do you want? Look, whoever you are, you can't intimidate Mayor Jack Armstrong. We're not afraid of your threats.
What's the matter, Uncle Jim?
Wait a second, Jack. Why are you so interested in seeing the silencer put in prison? You hung up, Jack. I wonder if that's the same man that called John Kelly last night and told him not to allow us to testify on behalf of the silencer.
What did he say?
He said he represents powerful interests, and that both you and I had better forget all about the silencer, that we shouldn't testify today or any other time.
Do you think it was one of the Black Vulture's men?
I don't know, Jack, but I don't see why any of his men would make a threat like that. After all, the police have a signed confession from the Vulture. He's a condemned man right now, just waiting for the formality of sentence.
Well, who else would be interested in seeing the silencer behind bars?
Well, that's what I don't know, Jack, unless... No, that can't be. There's no one who knows who he is.
What were you thinking, Uncle Jim?
Well, we know that the silencer was an inventor. We can suppose that he had valuable inventions.
I see what you mean. It may be some man who's stolen those inventions. Someone who wants to keep the silencer out of the way.
Yes, that's what I was thinking, but... No, that can't be it. Someone else would have come forth to identify the silencer before this time. His picture's been in papers all over the country.
Well, come on, Uncle Jim. We'd better get ready for the trial. Mr. Kelly wanted us down to the courthouse by 10:30, and it's now... Yes, it's 10:15.
Good for you, Jack.
What do you mean, Uncle Jim?
That's right.
Oh. Well, you're not afraid of it, are you?
I should say I'm not. Come on. Let's get going.
I wonder how Billy and Betty are making out in Detroit. I hope they can find some trace of the silence of identity.
While Jack Armstrong and Uncle Jim proceed to the courthouse, where they're going to meet Attorney Kelly, let's flash over to Detroit and learn how Betty and Billy are making out in their search for a clue that will prove who the silencer really is. They're in the office of a hospital way out on Warren Avenue.
Tonsillectomies, appendectomies, measles, mumps. Boy, oh boy, everybody in the city of Detroit must have been sick in the year 1935.
Oh, Billy, stop complaining. Just keep searching those files for an accident involving a man, a woman, and a little boy.
Okay, here we go again. Talk about looking for a needle in a haystack. All we have is the first name of a woman, Elaine. And a name that sounds like Tully or Tolly or Tilly or Tally. Wait a minute. Here's the name Tilly. Let's see, August 1st, 1935. Tilly Morgan. Severe cold in head.
Oh, Billy, that's not the one. What's a cold in the head?
Well, it's better than nothing. Okay, don't glare at me.
I don't see how you can kid about this, Billy. Everything depends on our finding the record of that accident the silencer was in. You know perfectly well that he'll be convicted unless we find out all about him, who he is.
Oh, I know, but I'm so doggone sick and tired of looking through case records that I'm getting groggy. Well, here I go into the W's. Bravo, Walker, Washington. Hey, look, Betty, George Washington slept here.
You are getting groggy.
But wait a minute. Here's me late.
Where? Let me see.
Head injuries, lacerations.
Let me have it.
Don't grab things.
I'm sorry, Billy. Please, may I have it?
Sure, here.
Elaine Hardy, automobile accident, head injuries, lacerations. Billy, let's set this one aside. This may be the one.
Yeah, it could be. Where's Ghost Point?
I don't know, Billy. It's probably a suburb of Detroit. But I think you pronounce that Ghost Point.
Hmm.
Say, I just happened to think, how did you find the name Hardy under the W's?
Why, didn't I jump back to the H's?
Billy, I have a hunch the name Elaine Hardy is the one we should try to find.
We're going to have a hard time doing that. Don't you know what that word deceased means?
Well, of course I do. But we can go to this address. They may be able to tell us something about her.
Okay, what are we waiting for?
Well, at least close up that drawer and put things in order. After all, it was pretty nice of them to let us go through it.
Yeah, I forgot.
Wait till I mark this name and address down on a slip of paper. Elaine Hardy... Mm-hmm. Road, Gross Point, Shores.
Hey, do you think the silencer's name is Hardy?
Goodness only knows. It doesn't sound like the name Tully or Tally, does it?
Sure. Tully, Hardy, Tally, Hardy. Yeah, they sound exactly alike. Well, come on, sis. Let's get on our bicycles and go places. Time's a ticking.
Let's hope that Betty and Billy have at last found a lead. We'll return to them later. Now let's join Uncle Jim and Jack Armstrong as they pull up in front of the courthouse where the trial of the silencer is being held. There's quite a crowd on the steps of the building. This unusual trial has caused a good deal of comment and has been headline news since it started.
Hey, look at the crowd, Uncle Jim. I wonder what the excitement is all about.
Well, there's standing room only at this trial, Jack. Those people are probably trying to get in.
Looks as though we'll have to push our way through. Where did Mr. Kelly say he'd meet us?
In the corridor, outside the court.
Hold it a second, Uncle Jim. Looks as though we're going to have a visit by a reporter.
Now be careful what you say to him, Jack.
You do all the talking, Uncle Jim. He's a tough-looking guy.
Hey, you're Colonel Fairfield, aren't you? You're Jack Armstrong.
That's right.
I've been waiting for you two to get here. I understand you had a threat against your life.
Where'd you hear that?
I get around, Colonel. Well, is there any truth in it?
We've had many threats against our lives, son, so it's true that we've had threats, yes.
You know what I mean. We are threatened today or yesterday.
Is that considered news?
Are you kidding? I'll say it's news when two important guys like you are threatened not to testify.
You seem to know more about this than we do, young man. Who told you that someone threatened us and warned us not to testify at the silencer's trial?
Then you admit it, eh, Colonel? Fine, thank you. Thank you very much. This will mean a scoop for me.
Wait a second there, young man. I don't want you to print anything like that in the papers.
News belongs to the public, Colonel. My readers will eat this up.
But look, do you mean you're disregarding that warning? That you're going to testify anyway?
Yes, we're going to testify.
Oh, you are, eh? Good for you, Colonel. Now, stand right there for a second, will you?
I want to get a picture of you two, and I promise you this shot will make the first page. Hold still now.
Look out, Uncle Jim, stop! You go! The camera, he's running away, Jack. I'll get him, Uncle Jim. Stop that man! Stop him from getting in that automobile!
He had a gun inside that camera. Bad luck he got in that car, Jack. Didn't get him. Get the license number, Jack. Get the license number. Come here, Jack. Don't go after him.
Are you hurt? Did he hit you?
No, thanks to you, Jack. Good heavens. How did you know I had a gun inside of that camera?
Because he was going to take our picture without putting a film in it. You can't do that, Uncle Jim. You can't do that.
Thank goodness you kept your eyes open, Jack. Well, come on. Let's get inside.
I hope the police catch that man, Uncle Jim. This is getting serious. First we get a telephone call threatening us not to appear in court. Now an open attack on us. Someone wants to get us out of the way.
Excuse me, please. May we get through here?
I'm sorry. May I get through, please?
Jack. Told us to meet him here at 10:30.
Should I call his office again, Uncle Jim?
No, I don't think there's any use in doing that, Jack. He said he left for here half an hour ago. Hope nothing's happened to him.
Gee, so do I. Poor Silencer wouldn't have a chance if they brought in a new attorney now. Is there anything we can do?
No, not a thing, Jack. They're holding up the trial until he gets here.
Gee, whiz, the judge won't keep calling 15-minute recesses all day. And if the prosecutor keeps insisting that they get underway, it's going to be kind of a one-sided battle. Where is he?
I wonder if the police caught that photographer who tried to shoot us.
I can't get over the nerve of that guy. Right out in broad daylight on the steps of the courthouse. If he hadn't jumped in that car, he wouldn't have got away, Uncle Jim.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. Jack, this whole thing's mystifying. I can't get myself to believe the Vulture's still out trying to get us. Although he still may have part of a gang operating someplace. Did you get a good look at that photographer's face?
Well, what I could see of it. Those dark glasses he was wearing hid his eyes before him.
Yeah. Wonder where Kelly is.
Mr. Kelly. Mr. John C. Kelly. They're waiting for you in number 7. Paging Mr. Kelly. They're waiting for you in courtroom number 7.
The poor Silencer. I'll bet he's wondering what happened to Kelly. Don't you think one of us had better go in there and talk to him, Uncle Jim?
No, I don't, Jack. Mr. Kelly warned me that he wanted to talk to me before we went in.
Well, come on, let's walk back to the front door and wait for him there. You don't suppose those men who called him yesterday got to him and are deliberately keeping him away from the trial, do you?
I don't know, Jack. If he doesn't get here in a few minutes, they're bound to start the trial without him. Of course, his assistant's in there, but John Kelly is the one who's needed.
I hope that attorney shows up in the next few minutes, don't you? The trial of the Silencer is becoming more exciting every day, and I know you'll want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. And believe you me, so will I. So let's be sure, all of us, to listen in to the next exciting episode of Jack Armstrong and the Trial of the Silencer. Now, I was trying to tell you at the start of the program, check your Wheaties supply right now. Make sure that you've got plenty of Wheaties on hand for the rest of the week. You better put in your bid for the new extra big pack, the giant size package that gives you 50% more Wheaties than the regular size. Then you're set for milk, fruit, and Wheaties, breakfast of champions every morning.
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all the brand.
This is Franklin Ferguson saying goodbye for General Mills, makers of Wheaties, breakfast of champions, who invite you to listen tomorrow to another episode of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
So just buy Wheaties, the best breakfast food in the land. Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand.
This is the American Broadcasting Company.
This is WENR Chicago by transfer.